This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast.
Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and on this, our final episode of the year, we're going to review the 2016 annual convention with the new president of the USEA, Carol Kozlowski. Carol, welcome and congratulations.
Thanks so much, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
In your new role, I know we've had you on before, knowing that this was going to happen come December, a convention, a very busy week as usual. We want to get your overview of what did happen at convention. So for those who are not attending, Carol, we'll start there and then we'll talk a bit about your philosophies and strategies as the new president going forward. So let's look back at that week in Fort Lauderdale.
I have to say, Chris, that, and I obviously came into the convention with a little bit of a different sense, knowing that I was going to be leaving Florida with a little bit more responsibility on my shoulders. But I have to say that this particular meeting just had such a kind of a sense of energy and sort of mutual respect. And certainly as we celebrated the adult amateur, it was really not your usual dramas or antics that we've come to expect from the convention. It was really, I guess you would say, a bit of a tamer version. But it was there was a lot of very happy people, and they, as I said, the energy, the ideas that were floating around was really remarkable this year.
So let's begin with the real business then, because as the week went on, there was more recognition with the awards and that sort of thing. But let's talk about the main highlights of the business affairs, Carol, as you saw them unfold through the week.
Well, this meeting is, of course, where the business is done with the association. And so we say goodbye to the Board of Governors members that have completed their terms and bring the new members of the board on and also say goodbye to some of, you know, the area chairs and some other changes that may have occurred in the organization. But from a business standpoint, it is a meeting where we sort of welcome the new powers, the new people that are kind of shouldering the responsibilities of running the organization. Although none of this could happen without the incredible office staff that shows up to make sure that we're all sort of crossing our T's and dotting our I's. And then the various committees, that is our sit-down, face-to-face meetings where we kind of wrap up what we have done for the year and maybe make some plans and some ideas, do a little bit of discussing of rule change proposals. That meeting is the opportunity for the members to really be hands-on part of the process of running the USEA. You know, they really can get right in there with all the meetings. Some of the meetings are closed meetings, but they really are very few and far between. Most of it is very transparent, and it gives everybody the opportunity to be involved in what's going on with our sport.
Let's look at the main topics then that were covered that, you know, that as I said earlier, Carol, there's a lot of our members that are not able to attend convention and they can catch up a lot on the website, but I'm sure they would like to hear from your perspective now as the new president what you are taking forward to this next cycle.
Well, it was the title, the convention was presented as Celebrating the Adult Amateur. And that, to me, was a huge step forward in recognizing that our membership, 80% of our membership rides at the training level and below. And there were several gatherings, social gatherings as well as meetings, for these riders to bounce ideas off and also to actually have their voices heard. And I personally, and I know Rob Burke, our CEO, also, we both made efforts to be at just about every gathering, every meeting that there was, just so that we could, you know, personally take forward and personally hear what a lot of these members had to say. But it was really gratifying to me because, as a professional in the sport, in the horse sport industry, I deal with a lot of adult amateurs as clients, and it was really gratifying to me to see these people. They were happy they were acknowledged, and they were happy to bring their ideas forward and share ideas with each other. That part of the convention was huge. I think additionally, I will probably morph a little bit into my strategy going forward. We had a couple presentations there, and you probably heard about this or read about this from the convention, but we had a few presenters that were, to be perfectly honest, pretty mind-blowing. And the first one that I'm going to mention are two gentlemen from Ireland with a company called EquiRatings. They have put together a program where they can identify through results, analyzing results, they can identify the risk that a rider, horse and rider combination will bring forward to a competition, and how likely their results are at the particular competition are to be based on their past results. And so the implications from this are huge, because we now have their program would enable the user, and Ireland has adopted this program already, but it would enable a national federation or a group such as our own basically to protect our horses and our sport from sort of well-intentioned riders who, you know, may have dreamed of riding at a particular level, and they might technically have the qualifications to move up to that level, but in reality, they're likely, given the trends that have been indicated in the data that has been that is being crunched in this program, they're likely to have problems, and those problems could extend all the way to catastrophic problems. You know, rotational falls where horses and riders are being injured and killed. So the opportunity for us to reduce falls based on using this number crunching in our country, that opportunity to use it the way they have in Ireland with very good results, I think could be a game changer in our sport. For us to identify and basically prevent somebody from moving up to a harder level if their results don't back up their qualifications. From a safety standpoint, from just a lot of different vantage points. I think there was another presenter at the meeting, Danny Warrington has developed, he has formed a company called LandSafe. He has developed a falling technique, a program that teaches safer falling techniques, and it sounds like an oxymoron, but Danny is a very experienced he's a steeplechase jockey, and he's also an advanced level rider, and he's been saying for years that he could teach people how to fall off better, and he finally put it all together, and he has designed very specialized equipment and tumbling techniques, and he and his wife, Kelly, and a gentleman that I should remember his name, but I don't, an Australian gentleman, they put together some pretty amazing stuff to teach people how to fall better and not teach us better instincts. So I thought those two programs were really huge. And really, in addition to the amateur rider, you know, empowering the amateur rider at this meeting, just making sure that they felt like they were, they felt included and that they had a voice. And probably, lastly, I know that a lot of our elite athletes were there meeting with David O'Connor, and his role has changed slightly, as far as our elite athletes go, as far as our international team. He is now, his role is now being described as a technical advisor. And so he has transitioned from being entirely the hands-on team coach to one that will, he's going to step back slightly and allow our international riders to train with their own coaches right up to whatever team competition they're preparing for. So that's a bit of a shift in our coaching strategy, but one that we hope is going to show up give us results the next time we're on the world stage. And lastly, we all are looking toward the WEG in Tryon, the World Equestrian Games, at the Tryon International Equestrian Center in North Carolina in 2018. So we will have our American Eventing Championships there again next year, and then the AECs will move to Colorado in 2018. But the level of excitement of having the world come to our country again for the WEG so quickly after they were in Kentucky is really cool. So those are kind of the highlights of what I took away from the meeting, other than, as I said, added responsibilities for me.
Of course, the added responsibilities. We should mention, though, a couple of the highlights were the keynote presentation, the speaker there being William Foxpit, of course, telling us his story, and then the annual awards. Carol, do you want to mention?
Yeah, it was a real thrill. Some of your listeners may not remember that William Foxpit, who is one of our top riders in the world in eventing, had a severe traumatic brain injury a year and a half ago when he was competing in France, and he somehow, it was a miraculous recovery. He somehow recovered sufficiently to ride for the Brits in Rio. And hearing him tell his story, I have to say, you could have heard a pin drop. He was just so incredibly engaging, and again, with my improved status in the organization, I get prime seating, so I get to sit next to him for a while on lunch, and he's just a really nice, just a really genuine guy. That was a real thrill for everyone to hear him tell his story. And then the awards, it was just so wonderful to Philip Dutton, the advanced rider of the year, but also horse of the year with Mighty Nice. That is such an incredibly deserving group of people who have believed in and supported Philip on this horse, and that to me is just such a really great ending, or not an ending, but great recognition for their story. And then another one of my favorite moments was Jenny Brannigan winning the $30,000 Becky Broussard endowment. And that, that goes to kind of an up-and-coming international star. And some of our international stars have gotten their leg up from this award from the Broussard family in memory of Becky. And to just see Jenny, she was so appreciative, and she was so deserving. Anyone that knows her knows what a hard worker and what a real talent that she is. So that was really a lot of fun. And I just had a lot of fun giving awards. I played Vanna White there that night. It was a lot of fun for me to hug people right down to the really cute young woman that won the Pony Award, because that, of course, is near and dear to my heart. But it was just a lot of fun to see people so emotional in their awards. And actually, as one last one, the Wofford Cup given to annually to someone who has contributed above and beyond in our sport. There's a woman in Vermont named Mary Hutchins who we all from Area 1, New York and New England, we all know Mary and know what she's done for us. And again, someone who is absolutely no presumption whatsoever. She's very shy and very humble, and to present her with that, the Wofford Cup, was also a real treat and a real honor. But the awards are certainly a highlight of the meeting.
So that rounds up the convention itself, and as you say, you took away more responsibilities. What will be your first sort of strategy and your first plan of action and the philosophy behind what you would like to bring to this presidency role?
You know, I have to preface this by saying that I am so in awe and respectful of the people that have gone before me in this job. And if you had asked me 10 years ago if I would feel qualified or capable of stepping into it, the answer would have been no. But I'm lucky because I've just experienced a lot in this sport, and had some really, really good role models. And I have to call out Kevin Baumgartner because I was complaining about something that he was asking us to do in committees and saying that we were all too busy. And certainly that applies to my life now. It just seems to get more complicated and busier. And he said to me, if you want something done, you ask a busy person to do it. And I thought it was apt at the time, and it's even more apt now. I guess I'm finding gears that I didn't know I had. But certainly in the short term, I will be attending a couple of the area, their annual meetings, Area 1, 2, and I think I'm going out to Area 7. And I know Rob Burke is going to also try to get to those meetings just to kind of have a presence and listen to our members and, you know, be there if they have ideas or questions or whatever. So that's kind of in the short term. But going forward, as president, obviously we do, the executive committee does meet on conference call once a month. But I do act as the head of the Board of Governors as president. But in addition to that, I will sit on a couple of USEF committees as in my role as USEA president, International Disciplines Council. That's kind of a think tank where all the different groups, all the different sports under the umbrella of the USEF kind of get together and talk about, rule changes and what we think would be appropriate for the organization as a whole, and not just as it involves our individual sports. And then obviously the other big job with the USEF is that I will have a seat on the what used to be the Eventing Technical Committee, is now the Eventing Sport Committee. And you know, the USEA, our sport is governed by the USEF. We abide by the rules that they enforce. The USEF enforces. Our officials are licensed by the USEF. So really, they are, it is our national organization, and the Eventing Sport Committee does make most of the major decisions that are kind of kicked upstairs from the USCA. So that, believe it or not, all those, the meetings and the conference calls, that all takes a fair amount of time. But in addition, I guess what I would like to think that I bring to my role as president going forward, that might give me a little bit of a different perspective, is I am still actively competing. I do judge. I have a small R license and a eventing judge, and I do organize one of our local events. So I feel like I have sort of a unique position to in the trenches, so to speak, to hear what people hear what they want, what they what their opinions are, what their suggestions are, but also I can sort of disseminate from my perspective, being involved at the level I am. I can get it back to these people and say, this is why this is happening, and possibly just be a conduit, in my role as president, but also being very involved, as I said, at kind of a grassroots level.
Well, certainly embracing the role from many different perspectives, Carol. We look forward to this going forward, as you say. Ultimately, in 2 years' time, we do have the world on our doorstep as well. As you said, very exciting to look forward to the World Equestrian Games coming back to the US. So that no doubt will be a highlight in the next 2 years. But we'll be back next year, of course, for another convention to hear how this next year has gone for you. So thank you very much indeed for coming on the program. The very best of luck, and we'll look forward to catching up, I'm sure, from time to time with your perspective as the president.
Great. Thanks so much, Chris. And Merry Christmas to everyone out there.
And we'll be back in the new year. In the meanwhile, you can keep up with the latest news and events on the website at useventing.com and also via social media. Until next season, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and a very happy holiday season from all of us here at the USEA.